Hey, thank you, Kane. 806 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this little Friday Eve edition. Some people call it Thursday. Some people call it Robert Day around here because we're stacked up with all the Bobbies and our buddy Robert Kennedy Jr. from Kennedy for Alabama.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good. You check out tomorrow night and we'll talk about the upcoming program. Good to see you.
Good to be here.
And I hadn't thrown any conniption fits since last time you and I talked.
I know. I listened very intently.
Yes.
You know, on Monday,
I've been
which
balanced.
Today I listened to the whole show. It looked like you made it through.
I'm calmed down and I'm good. But we'll see what the rest of the morning holds.
Hey, we just keep our fingers crossed, right?
Yes. You and I were talking about during the news break, I get my timeline messed up, but it was Kyle Whitmire, editorialist for AL.com, his
right.
commentary on the ad that came out from Congressman Byrne running for Senate, the one that has Ilhan Omar in it and Kaepernick, and y'all have probably seen it on Run the TV ad. We run the audio here in that ad, and Kyle Whitmire took offense to it and said the ad was racist. Mm-hmm. I asked Congressman Byrne about it, and he talked about it.
Let me guess. He said that it was not racist.
He said it was not racist. Right. And to be frank with you, I'm wondering, after reading Kyle's piece, if it was a fair shake on that. I mean, what's your take? You're saying that it...
So it's actually interesting. Let's just put the terms aside for the time being.
Right.
And let's just talk about the ad itself.
Okay.
So I'm flashing back to undergrad when I was a political science major.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting in Professor Franzik's class, and we're analyzing political ads.
Okay.
Right? So what is it that causes negative advertising to work, right?
People like it.
It tends to resonate, right? And it was just fascinating looking at the numbers and seeing the effectiveness of a negative ad versus a positive ad. And so I think the ad itself was an extension of what we would have historically referred to as a negative ad.
Mm-hmm.
It just so happens what has changed in contemporary times is it doesn't have to be against a specific political opponent. It can be more towards just a general, feeling.
Sure. It's not like my opponent, Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. I mean, there's a lot of times that ads come out that are talking about the general environment out there.
Mm-hmm. So when you actually look at the ad, and if I still have my political science hat on at this point, and I'm saying, what was it that Representative Byrne's campaign was attempting to accomplish? It's like I'm conflicted. Right?
Okay.
Because you can actually see that if he's reflecting an attitude, a sentiment that people have towards entitled athletes, to use his language, not mine, and certain members of the progressive left, you could say there are people around the state of Alabama that share those sentiments.
Well, they feel
and
like,
so it allows him to connect with those people that he would want to be his voters.
And I don't want to say what they all think, because who knows, but people, I think a lot of people feel like there's many out there that denigrate the United States.
Right.
And you just, when running through the ad, these are examples of people that have said things that, that a lot of people out there have felt like are anti-American.
Right. So having said that, I'm going to start to turn the conversation just slightly.
I'm with you, man. So, let's go.
Okay, so he accomplished what he wanted to accomplish by putting the ad out and connecting with certain members in the constituency.
Mm-hmm.
I actually felt, though, as though it fell flat. And the reason why is because the substance of the issues that he was talking about, at the end of the day, are not going to distinguish him from Senator Sessions, Tommy Tuberville,
et cetera. That's fair.
So let me give you an example. So I've spent a lot of time observing Representative Byrne in a lot of environments when I was competing with him in the election, as well as in time since the election. And one of the things that he stressed was the amount of casework that his office does on issues related to the VA.
Mm-hmm.
One specific example is there's a gentleman up there in McIntosh. He comes down and does his appointments here at the Veterans Center Mobile, but he has to go to Biloxi to get his prescription filled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like that doesn't make sense. So imagine if Representative Byrne had set it up at the fire, talking about the history with his brother. We honor his brother's service and his sacrifice. And it segued into the problems with the Veterans Administration and the things that he and his staff has done to help veterans in this area and being able to take that statewide.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, you have an ad that's much more impactful and starts to connect across color lines, racial lines, party lines in a way that the ad as it was constructed did not do.
But are you, and I, you roll that out, and that is compelling to me. Mm-hmm. And you and I both would be compelled by that ad.
Now, of course, if they want to hire me as a consultant, I'm more than willing to offer my services. But this is the reason why.
No, but it's compelling. But the problem is, are we, because I always question myself. I've done this for many years, but mm-hmm. I always question, like, that is compelling to me. But then I've got these people that get big checks out there that, mm-hmm. that talk about how to win elections, and they would probably say, nah, you need to go the other way and talk about, because both things are true. In you know, you're bothered by these anti-American statements, or you want to talk about how we can help out veterans, but the Washington consultant will come in and say, yeah, you stick with the negative because that wins.
Well, I was very particular in the example that I picked out, because the example that I picked out, the reason why those ads tend to be effective is because you've identified an external enemy.
Mm-hmm.
In his situation, he picked Colin Kaepernick, which
right.
I'm going to come back to in a second, but this notion of bureaucracy and mm-hmm. veterans not getting what they are, that's still an external enemy, and it could
Fair
have been
enough.
Much more impactful, because from the perspective of Representative Byrne, it's authentic, and it's something that he's talked about a lot
take.
On the campaign trail.
Interesting take.
Now I want to turn back to Colin Kaepernick and explain mm-hmm. why this particular one was problematic for me.
Okay.
So he talked about this notion of the entitled athlete disrespecting the flag.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of whether you feel as though a person should be required to stand or kneel is a conversation for another day. But what he did not touch on was the issue which precipitated the kneeling for the flag. So now we can pull that right back to things that are actually happening here in the district. All right, you're looking at me as if you're perplexed.
Right. I'm trying to follow.
So the reason why Colin Kaepernick kneeled for the flag was because he was protesting
police brutality,
right? Particularly within the African American
right.
community.
But it's now, but I have to say, going forward, it's now morphed into something.
No, but that's true.
But that's true.
You can't bring up the stuff recently about Iran.
I just did.
But the ad was not done because of that.
How do you know?
Because the ad was already produced. It wasn't like they cut an ad and immediately put in that ad copy of what he said in his text message.
Then it's just a bonus.
You're trying to disprove a negative. It doesn't make sense.
I'm doing a damn good job of it too.
You think so?
Yeah.
But come back to this. Now, one of the things that we talked about when we were doing on-air debate was I'd actually made a request of him to come to Pritchard if he had the mm-hmm. opportunity to do that. He did it. He came out. Answered Q&A. He was gracious, respectful. He was even complimentary towards me. While he was there, he was asked a question by Shakisha Clemons. Now, for the audience, Ms. Clemons is the young lady who was involved in an incident at the Waffle House. So at the time, she had been found guilty of disorderly conduct mm-hmm. and resisting arrest. Subsequent to that, on appeal, the disorderly conduct got overturned.
Mm-hmm.
So basically a jury, and in this case, a majority white jury, looked at the facts of that particular charge and basically said that it wasn't true, okay? So just keep that in the back of your mind. So in that session, she was talking to him about her experience.
Okay.
And his stance was, I support law enforcement. So there's nothing wrong mm-hmm. with what he said. It was perfectly appropriate for the forum that we were in. Now, if you talk about connecting with your constituents, imagine if in that situation he had offered to have a conversation with her privately to learn more about her experience, or if subsequent to her being found not guilty on that charge, he had reached out. Now you can start to talk about addressing the concern of a certain amount of your constituency, relationships between the law enforcement and the community, and then you can hold somebody accountable for continuing to kneel and protest because you're doing what you need to do
right.
for all of your constituents.
But you have an insight, Robert, that's what, you know, this is what we all do.
Mm-hmm.
We have an insight into things that beyond the person who is a butcher maker, candlestick maker,
yep.
doing their job, and what they're hearing in an ad is, you know, whether it's, they're not going two levels deep, they are this enemy, this general enemy of America in people's minds, people that are un-American, that are protesting, you know, anything that the country does, they feel a pushback there, and they're looking for somebody to say, I hear you.
Right. But the point that I'm saying is the act of protest is quintessentially American.
Absolutely.
It's the essence of what it is. But if you're trying to say that a person's actions of protest are not appropriate, and you're the person in a leadership position, and you have the opportunity to discern truth by dealing with the people in your district who are focused on this issue specifically, imagine the power associated with putting that in a campaign ad.
Right. We're going to pick this up. You'll run the news break. Coming right back, Robert Kennedy Jr., Kennedy for Alabama tomorrow night. We'll get a preview of the show, and we'll continue our discussion on the backside of the news. Y'all stay close. Right, 820 FM Talk 106.5, and it is Mobile Morning. It's also Thursday, and Robert Kennedy Jr., Kennedy for Alabama, in studio with us tomorrow night.
Yes.
Let's talk about the show.
We will have Kennedy for Alabama coming on air at 6 o'clock p.m. We're going to have two fantastic guests in studio, and we're going to be
talking about... It's a lot of pressure on your guests, you know.
Well, they're great. they're much more... capable than I am, and so I'm going to be happy to have them in. One is Mr. Levy King, who is the president and CEO of Coached Up, and we are going to start a conversation about where we are with the dream. And so yesterday was the 15th of January, which is Martin Luther King's birthday. And so
the real one, not observed, of course, Monday observed.
The holidays observed on Monday, and so we're going to start a conversation about where we are with the dream.
Oh, I can't wait for that. I'm looking forward to that.
And then our second guest is Ms. Lauren Burrows, who is going to come in and be our citizen spotlight during the conversation tomorrow night. And you know, we've spent a lot of time talking about military service as one of the ways. But she actually spent some time in the Peace Corps here from Mobile, Alabama. And we're really looking forward to having a conversation about where we are and where we go from here.
Good stuff. So that is tomorrow night. And a reminder, too, let's talk about the AL1 Democrat debate coming up, too.
Yes, we're going to have the Kennedy for Alabama in partnership with WKRG News 5 and FM Talk 106.5. We'll be hosting a debate for the AL1 candidates on the Democratic side. That is going to be on Thursday, the 6th of February at 6 o'clock p.m., and it will be at Gulf Quest.
All right. Well, and keep reminding y'all on that, and they can get more information, of course, on the show tomorrow night and on the website.
Yes.
All right. Before we move on to the subject, I do want to circle back around, because that discussion we just had started with Kyle Whitmire and his, and it is expected. He's an editorialist with AL.com.
Right.
I would say, I don't think I'm stretching anything. He comes at things from the left. Okay. But you made a measured and an analytical disagreement with the ad that was put out by Congressman Byrne. Kyle Whitmire said is racist, which, by the way, people, there's bigotry and racism, but Lord knows who wants to get into facts here. But Kyle Whitmire goes after it like that. To me, that's as unfair as that's instead of doing what you did. You analyzed and you said these following things. Here's where I disagree. When you come out, Kyle Whitmire, and just say, "Nah, it's racist," because the only people that were in that were not white skinned,
right?
I think that's lazy.
Well, so you and I have had an ongoing conversation since we first known each other about the distinction between something being racial and something being racist.
Right.
Right. And so if you have an ad and the only people in the ad are people of color, then at a minimum, it makes it racial.
Okay. If you said... And we asked Congressman Byrne about that. He said, "Listen, not just after." He said, "Look at what I've been doing in Congress. The skin color of these people, he's talking about Pelosi et al. And Schiff and all that." And he said, "I got plenty of disagreements. In this case, those were the people that fit the definition of the ad." So yeah. I think Kyle's all wet on that. I think that was unfair, and in my opinion, a lazy way to look at the congressman's ad and disagree with it.
Well, I mean, the racial aspect of it is factual, right? And I'll say this because
is it a spurious correlation though? You know what I'm saying? Just saying, hey, there's folks that are in that ad that Congressman Byrne did that are not white skinned. Therefore, they were only in that ad because they were brown skinned.
That's what Kyle's saying in this thing. So now you're doing the thing that you accuse me of doing in the analysis of it, right?
Okay.
If you turn the sound off and just put the picture on, and all of a sudden you see flames, and then you see images of flames, you could almost make the argument that it's probably less racial and more Islamophobic, maybe, because the images are appearing in fire, and anytime you see images appearing in fire, you're thinking of kind of burning in hell.
or enemies of America.
No. You're thinking of burning in hell. You're not thinking. If you saw it with no sound on, what you would think of, again, that would be the first image that popped into your mind.
Okay.
The point that I'm trying to make is I think the criticism of Kyle Whitmer is fair to be able to say, hey, look, there's a way to analyze the ad and to provide feedback on it without instantly leading off and saying everything's racist.
Yeah.
But you can acknowledge the fact that this ad had a racial element of it because of the images that were chosen.
I will say it depends on, and I've never, you know, one thing you and I've talked about for years is I don't ever assume what anybody else thinks and how anybody else, like the idea, I'm a spokesman for so, like
I think
everybody's
think it's
individual.
Funny, though, when a bunch of white dudes are talking about what is and isn't racist.
And if you,
I find that fascinating.
And if you ever heard me say, I just say, well, first of all, it's Kyle Whitmer saying it's racist. Right. And for me, like I said, your analysis, while we can debate that, mm-hmm. you went in and said, here's what I think was wrong, here's how it could be done better. But that's not what Kyle did here. But he went for low-hanging fruit as well.
Now you're with me.
Right.
Okay, so the notion of low-hanging fruit, the notion of not depth of understanding and just kind of going for the quick dig, Kyle Whitmer and Representative Byrne did the same thing.
Now, that's fair. You and I are pretty close to agreement on that.
We went to the lowest common denominator.
The problem is, though, that works. That works on all sides. I mean,
which
that's what drives the narrative.
Takes me back to my political sciences class about why negative advertising works.
And it does.
And it's decisions that we made when Aquilin and I decided that we were going to run for office.
Yes.
We made a conscious decision not to do that.
Yes.
And so in the 2+ years, I haven't said anything bad about anybody.
You've lived up to it, which is amazing, which may be the 1% in the United States of politics. Remember, because as much as I don't like that, when people say, I can't believe we've gotten to this place in the discourse in the United States, was it Jefferson and Adams, when they were running, and one was calling the other hermaphrodite they were mudslinging
mm-hmm.
in the earliest days of our republic. I wish it wasn't true and we'd devolved to this point, but it's been there. Mm-hmm. It's been there.
I want to make one last comment here about police and community relations, because I think this bears mentioning. I talked about Miss Shakisha Clemens and her being found not guilty on that disorderly conduct charge, right, on that pill. She was found guilty of resisting arrest.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I don't understand how you can be guilty of resisting arrest if the underlying crime of disorderly conduct was proven as being false. But
I've had that discussion with law enforcement before, and they say it can happen.
Because
you're placed under arrest, whether
it can happen legally,
right?
But I don't believe that it can happen morally in this case, because what they proved was what the officer heard was not said by her. It was said by somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so he literally placed the wrong person under arrest. And so anytime somebody's reaching out to grab you, you're naturally going to step back and say it wasn't me, or whatever the case may be. That's not what I'm trying to debate. The point that I was trying to make was the amount of media attention and focus when she was found not guilty
mm-hmm.
was nowhere near the level when she was saying the whole time that she wasn't guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And I think collectively media has a responsibility to provide that level of focus when you find out the initial reports were not true.
Fair enough. I've got just a couple minutes here. So other than the he said, she said, heard around the country, between, because I've been rolling my eyes, but it's what everybody's interested in. How that affects the future of our republic, I don't know. What did Bernie say, and what did Elizabeth hear, and what did Elizabeth say to Bernie? But that seems to be the story in the narrative coming out of the Democrat debate up at Drake University.
Right.
Was there any other takeaway that we should pay attention to?
Well, I think when we talked about how we evaluate debates, mm-hmm. it's whether or not a person can continue to drive their poll numbers and whether or not they will be able to continue to wash money or be able to raise money.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that perspective, the debate was essentially a tie across the board. It's mm-hmm. like no one really did better or worse. And so even with this issue that we talked about whether or not Bernie Sanders said to Elizabeth Warren that a woman cannot be elected, I think the comment's patently absurd given the numbers that came out of the last election.
Yeah.
But be that as it may, at the end of the day, I don't think it's going to affect either one of their ability to raise money going forward. So that's the reason why I think it's essentially a push.
All right. So a 30-second warning here before we wrap. Minority Leader McCarthy says the other day that this is part of a bigger plan by the DNC and Pelosi to ice Bernie and to promote Biden.
So we are now operating in the world of the absurd. So do you think he really cares about whether or not there's a fair election?
No, but I wonder if he brings up, because I mean, I do think in the last cycle, from what I saw, that the machine worked against Bernie Sanders.
There's no doubt about that. That is clear. That is absolutely the case.
And so there is some narrative there that people go, oh, maybe that's happening again.
And it very well may be.
There we go.
All right.
Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock.
Kennedy for Alabama. Please listen. We'd love to hear your thoughts and comments.
It's always fun. Thanks, man. Coming right back, we'll check in with Rob Hobart from Landyap. Also, update from Dr. Bill. Eventually, winter does return, but it's going to take a couple days.
FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Let's talk with Mitch McConnell from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. Anytime you tell me that I can pay less on a new or pre-owned vehicle, I'm all ears. Tell me, how can we save money at McConnell Automotive?
Well, Dalton, one way we just talked about off air is about 0% interest. And, you know, people out there right now that are listening, if you're making an interest payment, maybe it's not too bad. It's 5-7%. Listen up. We have Dalton on every Buick and GMC pretty much on the lot. 0% for 72 months. I mean, this is a chance for people to upgrade and, you know, make lower payments. And, you know, every time you write that check to the bank or auto-draft it out of your account, you'll be paying for your vehicle instead of interest. And, you know, this doesn't come around too often, buddy. So people just go to our website. And I just invite anybody that's making a payment on a car they don't love, don't keep doing it, man. Give us a shot at McConnell, and let's see if we can, even on a used car, don't maybe keep the payments the same or lower them on a vehicle people will actually like better. That's what we try to do every day.
Good stuff. We appreciate it, Mitch.
Y'all have a great weekend, buddy.
All right. That's Mitch McConnell. Check him out online, McConnellAutomotive.com, or go to McConnell Automotive in person on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
Right, 8:38, and y'all say good morning to our friend Rob Hobart from Landyap. Hey, man.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are y'all today?
We're good. New issue of Landyap out on the streets now.
Yeah, it's got a beautiful jet on the cover. Big underside of a jet. Great,
yeah.
Shot.
What kind of jet?
I'd say it's one of those Airbuses.
Yeah, it's not
one
a front,
Airbuses.
It's not a Frontier, is it?
No, I don't think so. We couldn't get a shot of them. That's mean. That's mean.
Lots to talk about. I want to get into number one. Speaking of the cover story and the tariffs, and what tariffs mean. Yeah, tariffs. Yesterday, President Trump and the Chinese officials signing phase one of this deal. I mean, we looking like there's some progress here. Of course, you had the USMCA progress on tariff deals and negotiations between the United States and Mexico. But tariffs are an issue for companies right here in Mobile, Southwest Alabama.
Yeah, I think, Sean, when you go back and look at those tariffs, I think, yeah, they look good for some people. I think if you're on the receiving end of the tariffs, you're not really feeling that great about a lot of those things. But that's a long conversation. But the what we're looking at right now is potential for $7.5 billion worth of tariffs against the European Union, and some of that would include aircraft components coming from overseas, which means aircraft components coming to Brooklea, to our Airbus facility here. And these are basically, it's basically tariffs to help prop up Boeing. And, you know, at a time when Boeing is reeling from a multitude of problems, and, you know, we have a situation here where we're looking at, you know, the possibility of tariffs coming and hurting something we've spent a lot of time building.
Well, okay. You've got those issues, but I think his conversation, I forget who it was the other day I had on. It might have been Congressman Byrne, might have been Representative Brown. Somebody I was talking to said the fact that the tariffs are in place is why we have so much assembling going on here, that because of the possibility of the tariffs, the tariffs are on finished aircraft coming in, and because we assemble here, it actually those tariffs improve business for Airbus here.
I don't know. I don't think that that's the case, and I don't think that's the case that anybody else feels that way. I haven't heard that from anybody other than
they were saying. I mean, it's something we could find out if it's true or not. If the if the tariff wasn't in place, would they assemble a jet in Hamburg or Toulouse versus if the tariff's in place, they bring it in here to assemble, which does employ more people in our area.
I guess if you're saying there's a tariff against fully built planes,
that's what was explained to me. Yeah.
So I guess that's one thing. It's sort of a backwards way of supporting these tariffs. I think that you know, now that they're here, we're adding cost, and so I think that that's a, you know, we say, oh well, the tariffs are good because that's what got it here. But well, it's here, and you know, now we're going to add tariffs to it. That's not good for it. I think it's. I guess in my business, we've been through one of these tariffs already. You know, we got the newsprint tariff that ended up being overturned by the International Trade Commission, and it looked at it and said, hey, you know, this thing is just not worthwhile. It doesn't do anything. But what it did for us, what it did for everybody in the news industry, was drive newsprint up 30%.
Yeah, and explain that, people, because a lot of people didn't hear that, didn't follow that. So what the newsprint tariff?
There was one newsprint mill out in Washington State that asked for a tariff against Canadian newsprint, which is most of the newsprint in the United States.
Newsprint being what? The paper or the ink?
The paper it actually is printed on, the actual paper.
Okay.
And so most of that is produced by Canadian mills. Most of the U.S. mills have transferred what they do to making cardboard boxes for Amazon.com. So the... you know, what we've got, you know, they said, you know, they would like a tariff because they thought that Canada was supporting their, you know, they were giving subsidies to this business. And so even though the entire industry in the United States said, please don't do this, there's not going to do anything except drive prices up because there's not enough ability in the United States to take it, to reel that in, to take up the slack on that. You know, there's not anybody making newsprint here that's going to benefit from that. You know, they did it anyway, and it drove prices through the roof. A lot of newspapers closed. By the time they turned it around and said that this, you know, that the tariff had no actual, that served no real purpose, it was too late. It already had driven prices up, and they're still up. You know, it's just, it's they're slowly, slowly coming back down, but it's cost a lot of people, you know, thousands. I mean, it's cost us tens of thousands of dollars a year.
Okay.
You know, I've got a friend who owns a business that's telling me that tariffs on auto parts are killing, you know, really hammering his business. I mean, it happens. If you're on the front lines of some of this stuff, you see the other side of tariffs. I mean, the farmers who are getting billions of dollars in subsidies because they can't sell their soybeans anymore. They can't sell stuff anymore. And so, you know, we're counting that as a win, but we're, in the meantime, we're propping it up with tax money. So I don't, you know.
You talk about propping up and the world of agriculture. That's a whole nother week of shows we could talk about.
But let me
argue this, that if you're going to try to negotiate with the Chinese or Mexico, you have to negotiate with some leverage, right? I mean, if you're going to negotiate without leverage, you're never going to get an even deal. So in the short term, President Trump puts in these tariffs to give leverage to, hey, I mean, look at, you got the USMCA signed and you get the Chinese show up in Washington to sign phase one of that deal. That's something we have not seen in a long time. And
okay,
Democrats and Republicans before have not been able to get that done.
Okay. And you know, that is going to help who? Is it going to help the people who went out of business in the meantime? Is it going to, I mean, I can tell you, like, for instance, the newsprint tariff drove some people out of business. How
but will it be able to help American? Well, just one second.
Subsidies from the government?
Will it help American business overall going forward to have a level playing field?
Will it help some very big businesses? Probably. And that's what the problem with tariffs is that it helps the big guy. It really squashes the little guy. And that's, I mean, I think that's what you see most of the time. I think that's why you see most economists don't think they're a great idea.
Well,
there are other ways to negotiate than just saying, you know, we're going to slap tariffs all over everything, because then they slap tariffs on us. I mean, you know, the stuff with the EU, for instance, is going to, one of the big things that it probably is going to include is wine.
Roquefort cheese.
And cheese and wine and things like that. And it's going to, then that's going to be, they're going to slap tariffs on our wine and things like that. So it's you know, those are going to be, you know, it may sound like a good thing if you're sitting in your living room and you don't have any interest in those things, but if you're running a wine shop, it's going to be a cost increase.
I think people are interested in the jobs here, that they think that these tariffs will protect these jobs. And I understand that I'm doing this from a devil's advocate, because sure. I mean, I'm somebody who has argued, you know, Milton Friedman and others pointed out that you take the incoming goods from countries while they supply it if the cost point is lower, because eventually they will exhaust whatever resource that is. And that leaves you still with that resource in your country. Problem is, that resource has been labor and jobs. And we've watched everything from, I mean, if you're talking about a populist movement out here, the number of jobs that have been shipped overseas, south of the border, what that's meant for blue-collar, middle-class jobs in the country, I mean, it was obviously an issue big enough that it was one of the main reasons people showed up and came out to vote for President Trump.
Yeah, I guess I understand that to a degree, but I also think if you look at it, it's easy to look at it and say that these are numbers on a page, but when you look at the reality of when you're running a business, I mean, I can tell you, I've dealt, you know, cost us $50,000 last year. That's just point blank. It did. You know, that doesn't, you know, I guess you can wave the flag and wrap yourself in it and feel good about it, but it doesn't really do anything other than, you know, the big guys at the top who have billions and billions of dollars, Sean, they're not really dealing with the kind of issues that people who are running a business are dealing with. They're not dealing with going out of business, perhaps. In this case, you know, we're propping up Boeing. They're subsidizing Boeing. Boeing's being subsidized by the U.S. government already. They've already been given this massive $35 billion tanker contract that they haven't even delivered on at all. And, you know, they get what they want when from the federal government. You know, we can call it a whatever you want to call it, but it is a subsidy. I mean, they took it straight from us down here. We've seen it firsthand. And I think it's easy to look at it and say, we don't do that. And I feel like that's not exactly the case. You know, that the, you know, we're talking about $18 billion, I think, from what the WTO said that the countries in the EU had given Airbus. But I think if you look at that $35 billion tanker contract, where I think they've delivered two tankers so far and neither of them work. It's pretty equitable.
Hey, can you hold on? We've got to run to the break here. Coming right back. More with Rom Hulbert from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. It's Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Hey, thanks, Kane. 852 FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings. Get right back to our conversation with Rom Hulbert from Lanyap. Heads up, right now, free estimates from the maids. I've been telling you about the great, great clean and the amount of time we get back in our schedule at our house with the maids, and you can check out in person what I've been talking about when you give them a call at 344-6626, 344-6626, to get that free estimate right now. Give yourself the gift of clean and the gift of time. Think about having that house that's clean from baseboards to ceiling fans and everything in between. Plus, they run those HEPA filter backpack vacuum cleaners, so they're getting all the dust and allergens, all that pet dander that collects in homes this time of year. They're getting that as well. And at the same time, whatever it is, whatever hours you spent in your home during the week keeping it looking good, you get those back in your schedule, and those are priceless. Once again, get a free estimate by giving them a call at 344-6626 for the maids. 344-6626 for the maids, or just Google the maids for Mobile and Baldwin County, and you'll probably see that phone number to get the free estimate, 344-6626. All right, return to our conversation with Rom Hulbert from Lanyap and lanyapmobile.com. Rob, I want to do this. Let me run through, because I often feel like I'm like, people text things to me, and I'm like, text them to Rob. So let me run through a couple things here. It says, this texter says, I have an office furniture supply company. Yes, tariffs are not helpful on imported inexpensive products. However, when you buy copy paper direct from the mill in Jackson, Alabama, and all of a sudden you see more trucks leaving it because your competitors are starting to buy it from them as opposed to shipping it in from Taiwan, that's a good thing for Alabama. Okay, then Will says, newsprint is a dying media anyways. Get Rob to give us another example.
I gave him several examples, but Will doesn't know what he's talking about either, because, I mean, it's not a dying medium. We've done better every year. So, you know, I think that's just, you know, standard rhetoric that people say. You know, we'll find out where it settles out. But anyway, we can get into a whole different conversation. But I've given you an example. I walked into a wine shop the other day, and they told me they're terrified of this stuff. I've got a friend who has a car rental company that the cars that they're buying now are more expensive because of that. I've got another friend who's in aerospace stuff, and he says the parts have gone from $100 a piece for these particular parts to $500 a piece. There's a few different examples. I mean, there's a lot of examples. Soybeans. I hope those are enough. There's plenty of them.
All right, Buck says, what would Rob have Trump do to even the playing field when America was losing in its trade with European Union and China? Tariffs are working.
I mean, I think that you've got to be, you know, I think the reason that people hired Trump is that he's a good negotiator. A good negotiator, part of it is you've got to look out for yourself, too. I think the issue I have is not that we need to negotiate and be tougher. The issue I have is that we need to be more careful about when we negotiate, making moves that are smart in this particular instance. So we've got one company that right now has all these aircraft grounded, and they can't get them up in the air because they don't function and they killed people. So we're going to put a tariff on the other company that builds airplanes. How is that going to help American jobs when the people who are building the Boeing can't even get them up in the air right now? So that's kind of nonsense. It's just hammering them. Same thing with the newsprint example I gave you. Everybody in the country told Trump this is a bad idea. The people in the mills in the United States wrote him a letter saying, please don't do this. It doesn't work. These are the people who ostensibly would have benefited from it, and they wrote him and said, please don't do it. He still did it. And it created nothing but trouble. So I think the big part of it is, if you're going to use tariffs, you've got to use it smartly and wisely and do it in a fashion to understand what the ripple effects are going to be. And, you know, I get it that people don't really care about the average small business because they think we're winning somehow or another. But the people who are winning are the people who already are billionaires, and they're, you know, okay, you know, I'm going to sound like I'm anti-billionaire, but the reality of it is I'm for small business, and I'm for the average person having the American dream and doing their jobs and not having federal government come down and put arbitrary things on us. And, you know, in this situation, I think with the tariff, you know, every one of your local governments has asked the president not to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody, the governors asked him to do it. Now, most of them are doing it in a very tepid fashion, and that's a whole another issue about our people who are running for Congress and who are in Congress right now approaching this from a very, very, you know, tepid way. And I think we ought to be, you know, the only one who's really honestly been pretty tough about it is Doug Jones at this point. So I think that's that may fly in the face of some of what people think, I guess, of what they expect. But we've got to take care of people who actually can be put out of business on this kind of thing or be hurt significantly versus some people who may not make quite as many billions of dollars next year.
All right, check out the Dan the Torpedoes column from Rob and everything else in the new Lanyap. Pick up the new Lanyap out on the streets now, and remind folks, if they want to get it online, how do they do it?
You can check us out at lanyapmobile.com. It's 21 cents a day. Sign up. Help us out. You know, it helps you out. You get full access to everything we're doing on both sides of the bay and our archives as well. Plus, it helps support local news.
There you go. Thank you, Rob.
All right, take care.
All right, Rob Holbert with Lanyap. Mike Gallagher Show is on the way next. Be back at noon for Midday Mobile. Remember, online, fmtalk1065.com, and check us out on social media as well. And we'll be back in three.